Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday, Thursday. We're talking Holy Week hymns with cantor Philip Magnus. He's director of Sanctuary Worship at Concordia Lutheran Church in Kirkwood. And always good to talk hymns. That's on the top of our list. Hymns and missionaries.
Hymns and missionaries. Two of my favorite things.
And if you add bicycles to it, then Sarah's totally happy.
It's true. And coffee.
Oh, and coffee.
And then I'm good.
Yeah. That reminds me of something I totally forgot, but we'll save that for another day. How'd you like that senior moment?
That was great. Was so great.
Now we're getting into Easter hymns. So if you need to press pause and then unpause it on Easter morning, you can. But these are some of the hymns that we're going to sing on Easter.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at them. Do we want to go to 467 first?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Awake my heart with gladness.
This was not a hymn, believe it or not, that I grew up with.
Really?
Now, I was a convert to Lutheranism in eighth, ninth grade, but the church I went to in high school, the church I went to in college, the first church I started off in Texas, didn't have. And then when I was at Trinity Peoria, first thing a new cantor does is, they should do, is, you know, learn the repertoire of the congregation so you're not picking too many things. And I made a few mistakes when I first was there, so then I immediately said, okay, let's get a survey going. And I had the help of some wonderful seasoned citizens who went through 5 years of hymnals and let me know, you know, how many times every tune had been sung.
Wow.
And this was not in their repertoire. So my second year there, there was a young lady in my Schola Cantorum, Natalie Teichman, and she's a professional dancer now in New York, and delightful person, and she was a delightful student chorister, and she told me she says, Cantor, I had this dream last night, and I don't know, I heard this wonderful music, and we were all singing Alleluias, and it was some kind of Easter song, but I don't know, you know what it was, but we were singing in parts, and it was awesome. Can you write an Easter song for us with lots of Alleluias? I mean, what are you going to do with that? But it's like, okay, Natalie, I'm going to work on that. So, not being someone who writes a lot of texts, I write music. I have maybe two or three texts I've written over the years. I'm a tune writer and musician, composer. So I start looking in the hymnal and I go, oh, these words are awesome. Paul Gerhardt, for the win. Yay.
Of course.
So I'm like, well, great. The congregation doesn't sing this hymn, but they can hear the hymn and they can hear the kids sing it. But Natalie wanted new music. So I kind of took the first phrase and reworked it, and then I had some other ideas, and I wrote this anthem. And so I fell in love with the words of this particular hymn before I fell in love with the music. And then, a few years later, I read an article by Paul Grimm about this hymn. I was like, you know, I really should just go to the organ and play this hymn as it's written. I'm like, oh, this is a great hymn. Well, then you change congregations, and then you wind up discovering that there are congregations that do sing this hymn, sing it well, and So anyway, I'm a latecomer to it, but so I want to focus on the text of this hymn, which is a great example, as in all of Gerhardt's hymns, of a really good balance between the subjective and objective aspects of our faith. Early hymnody is very much, especially early Lutheran hymnody, is very focused on objective, getting our doctrine right, singing catechetical hymns, hymns which teach the faith. And they're wonderful hymns, and here comes the however. But they don't focus much on the experience of the Christian. And Christians, often we want to give expression of the hope that is within us. And what Gerhardt does is he has that really good balance where there's still a lot of objective, good content, singing the truth, and also expressing the feelings of the Christian. In fact, this being a German hymn, German chorale, the tune name is the same as the hymn name. So you might think that Auf, auf, mein Herz means awake my heart, but it actually means up, up, my heart. Up, up. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you have this first and quarter during the liturgy, lift up your hearts, you know, and here, you know, Gerhard has up, 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 my heart. So our theologians talk about the fides qua and the fides qua. The fides qua is the objective, you know, the faith by which we are saved. And early hymns do that. But there's also a fides qua, your experience of saving faith. And that's what Gerhard does so well and so much of his hymnody. And so this hymn takes something like some verses like Micah 5, verse 9, your hand will be lifted up in triumph over your enemies, and all your foes shall be destroyed. And of course, 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he puts it together in this wonderful hymn, and just makes everybody sing up, up.
Well, now I want to know the rest of the German text. It's so fascinating. Yeah. to have, because I mean, translating any poetry from one language into another, you're just going to lose some of it just
Correct.
Because
yes.
of the way it happens. But oh, I'd love to know the rest of the German. Is this one? Do you know if this is one of the Gerhard hymns that it has like 20 stanzas and we shortened it down to something that didn't make people so angry?
I'm not an authority on that, and
I have to go look that up now.
You have to look that up. What this you know, the previous segment we had an appeal, or I had a personal appeal. It's like, yeah, it'd be great if Higher Things would run hymns, new hymns, like Spirit magazine did for Lutheran youth in the 60s. Well, this is another personal appeal. Can't wait, all of you who are working on this for the worship department of our Synod and CPH to get that hymnal companion for LSB.
Oh, yes.
I am still waiting for that to come out. And for the past 4 or 5 years, I keep hearing how it's coming out next year.
So, soon.
It's coming
soon.
Out soon.
Coming soon.
It's, so. Isn't that the Lutheran answer, now, not yet?
Now,
yes,
not
yes,
yet.
Yes, yep, exactly.
Yes, we are still waiting. There's so much more we could talk about.
So it's inaugurated eschatology with the hymnal supplement. Okay, go ahead.
So much we could talk about with this. And I would encourage anyone who hasn't sung this hymn yet to read it again before Easter morning, just to get the text in your head. It's just so good.
It's
I think
fabulous.
It's my favorite, probably my favorite Easter text, but I haven't looked through the rest of the hymnal yet. So, but anyway, before we run out of time, we want to get to the next, our last one.
If Christ had not been raised from death.
Lutheran Service Book 486. You have some personal connection to this
one. I wrote the tune for this one.
Oh, look at that. You did.
Yeah. When we were developing LSB, several composers were given texts with the instruction that, or just the encouragement that they had located several delightful, wonderful hymns for which they wanted new tunes. So they didn't feel like they had suitable tunes for them. And so Jeff Blersch, Kevin Hildebrandt, Stephen Johnson, they've got, you know, several, you know, two. And so they're all part of this project.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun thing about it is if we sing If Christ Had Not Been Raised from Death, Stephen Johnson and Kevin and Jeff, I know that they've got their own tune going through their head that they wrote for this. And when I sing one of theirs, you know, so I'll go like, oh yeah, Kevin's tune was better than mine. No wonder they picked Kevin's tune. But you know, this was a pretty good tune, and they picked it. And we don't have a lot of time, so I want to try to zone in on the story for this. It is a delightful hymn by Christopher Idle. He has several in our hymn book. So hymn fans, you can associate him also with In Silent Pain, The Eternal Son, Christ Is Surely Coming, Since Our Great High Priest Christ Jesus, and also The Saints in Christ Are One in Every Place. So he's 80 years old, is Reverend Idle. He's an Anglican churchman, and he has given a lot of great hymns to the church. As for my tune, when I was given all these texts to muse on, my grandmother passed away.
Hmm.
And so I went down to Tennessee for her funeral. I think I mentioned earlier in the segment that I'm a convert to Lutheranism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so most of my family, my father's side especially, are Southern Baptists. My grandmother had left the Southern Baptist Church and had started going to New Life Tabernacle. And So that created a bit of a tension because my cousin Rick and also my aunt and uncle were at the Baptist church. It was my other aunt and uncle, but of course the Baptists, you know, Lutherans think this is just a Lutheran thing, but it's a confessional thing across denominations. The Baptists weren't going to have this Pentecostal pastor come into their church. And of course they didn't want to have the funeral at New Life Tabernacle, so they did the nice, Southern Midwestern compromise. We'll have the funeral at a funeral home. All right, so, here's Lutheran boy here, and what few Lutheran relatives I have are on my mother's side, so I'm just, in the Lutheran delegation. And anyway, so I'm watching this funeral with interest as well as with devotion. And both pastors get to preach, and the first one who comes up is from New Life Tabernacle. And it was an illustration, frankly, of what should not be preached at a funeral. And sometimes people who live in a Lutheran bubble don't believe things like this go on. But he preached works. Hmm. He actually crescendos up to this high point in his sermon after telling the obligatory Protestant nice things about my grandmother and how he knew her. He crescendos up full of emotion, like a stereotypical revival preacher, and he says, "And I'm here to tell you that if anyone's made it to heaven, Etta Marie did because she was a good woman." And I'm sinking in the pew. It's like, oh, I've got some cousins who really don't get the gospel. They need to, I'm not sure if they do. Anyway, but I'm like, oh, they don't need to hear this. Oh, this is not what church is about. And totally, totally preaching works. Well, thanks be to God, Brother Rick gets up, the Southern Baptist gets up. And he says a few nice things, the obligatory nice things about my grandmother. And then he turns around and he says, "But I'm here to tell you that Etta Marie wouldn't be kicking up her heels right now at the throne of the Lamb if it weren't for the blood of Jesus." And then he opens up the scriptures and he goes to 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ had not been raised from death." And I'm like, I'm musing on this text right now for this hymnal project. So I go back to my hotel room and there's my inspiration for this tune.
So you sit down and you just start writing?
The tune came to mind, yeah.
Wow.
What a moment.
If that is an inspiration.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's going to be too long of a story to make the hymnal companion. So KFUO listeners, you've got the whole story.
Catch the story right here. This is the only place you can get the stories. The story behind the music. If Christ had not been raised, that's 486 in Lutheran Service Book. If Christ had not been raised from death. Ah, man. So now you're going to think
of
that story.
Yeah, and the coolio thing is the following, when LSB came out, I sent a copy of the hymnal to my aunt and uncle, and they had the choir on Easter sing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. What a story. Man, we are all out of time, but there is, I'm sure we'll have more hymn stories with you in the future. blessings. God bless you this Holy Week, this Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, all the
Holy
services,
Saturday.
Holy Saturday, that's right, all the services. Thank you so much, Phil, for being our guest.
My pleasure.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.